The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everyone, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. Listen to Matt Slick Live. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. If you're a newbie, you're not sure what the show is about, I'm a Christian apologist. I defend the Christian faith, and I've been doing so off and on for about 43 years. I started 43 years ago, took some time out to go to college and seminary, but I still studied a great deal and defended the faith when I could. And I've been working on the carm.org website, carm.org, working on it for 27 years. In October, it'll be 28 years old. I think when we have, if it makes it to 30, we'll do a shindig. We did a 20th shindig. That was a lot of fun. You were there, weren't you, Charlie, for the shindig? Yeah, that's right. We had it at the Mission Aviation Fellowship headquarters, and there was a couple hundred people there. And, that reminds me, I have got to find that video of me getting roasted by a guy named Ryan. I just got totally roasted by him, and it was hilarious. And he knows me, knows all my quirks, and was just exaggerating them and mocking them publicly. It was so funny. And we've got it on tape someplace. I got to find it. You know, I don't know. I just don't think about it, but we got to put it up on YouTube. Oh, it was a lot of fun. We had a good time, and we had people from all over fly in and give testimonies about the website, and praise God. But at any rate, so there you go. You know what? We've talked every now and then. Never mind. I'm just rambling right now, but it'd be cool to meet, like, in Denver, kind of the middle of the United States, just find a hotel and have a bunch of us fly in, and on your own expense, you get your own room. I mean, we don't have a lot of money here, but it'd be fun to just meet and have a room or a meeting hall. We could all kind of get in, gather, and just talk, you know, and have some food and go to restaurants. I think it'd be fun, you know, do a couple of days or something like that and just talk. I like stuff like that. It'd be nice. Well, anyway, there you go. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. I've been working on an outline for the one-minute seminary. Spent a few hours today on that, trying to get a systematically arranged outline that I will then hopefully do a video that's a minute or less on each topic and try and make it quick and slick and succinct so that we could do all kinds of stuff. And Tom says about the thing going to Denver and having a meeting. Who'll make the sandwiches? Well, I think we should have a sandwich-making contest. And if the ladies want to tell us how to do it, then they could certainly show us. So it'll be a lot of fun. That's a joke I say, I've been saying for years, because when our little girls, my wife and I's daughters, were here at the house, we would watch VeggieTales. And they're little girls, you know, we watch VeggieTales. And in one of the VeggieTales, a queen got kicked out of the kingdom because she wouldn't make her husband king a sandwich. And I loved it. So I said, hey, hon, look right there. It's biblical. Got to make me a sandwich. And she just rolls her eyes. So ever since that day, it's been fun. Any rate, there you go. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. If you want, you don't want to get on the air, you can call, email me at info@carm.org. info@carm.org. You can do that if you want. And you can email me a question or a comment, what you like, what you don't like. And if you really, I'm going to say this to those, if you really don't like what I say, I want to hear it, I do. If you're a Roman Catholic and you don't like that I condemn Catholicism, or a Mormon, you don't like to condemn Mormonism, and you're an atheist and you don't like that I condemn atheism and evolution and things like this, if you think I'm just full of it, I would absolutely be delighted, seriously, if you were to email me, and I love to. I read them over the air, and I comment about them. I love, it's called hate mail, and I love hate mail. I do. I really do enjoy it. I have a lot of fun with it, and, you know, I'll read them. I will. So yeah, there's something wrong with me that I enjoy hate mail that much. And if you want, you can email me some hate mail at info@carms.org. It's the same place you can email me your questions and comments you have about all kinds of stuff. I would love that. I do. I really do. And for those who have heard me over the years talk about hate mail and read hate mail, but the best was Atomic Body Man. Atomic Body Man. That was in the wacko mail category. That was years ago. I have got to see if I can find it. I got so many shows. I've done 3,000 shows. So an hour long. I've been doing radio now for 18 years, 5 days a week. And before that, did two years, 1 day a week. Anyway, so I get a lot of radio under my belt. There you go. See, how about that for just kind of wasting a little bit of time? Let's get on the air with Sheila from North Carolina. Sheila, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you.
Hi. So what do you got?
I have one question.
Oh, sure.
Can you tell me where I would look to see the 1,000-year reign of Christ? Where would I look in the Bible to see that in detail?
Wow, that's a good question. Because it's not an easy one to answer. Because there's post-millennial view, there's the premillennial view, there's the amillennial view. And each of them uses Scripture for their respective positions. So what's your position? Do you believe there's going to be a future 1,000-year reign of Christ? Is that what your position is? That's most people's position. Is that what you hold to?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, in that case, you might want to go to Revelation 20. That's where they go for a lot of that, for the pre-millennial view. They go to Revelation chapter 20. That's what they do.
The whole chapter?
Well, yeah. What they'll do, the book of Revelation, right? They'll say, for example, they'll say in the book of Revelation, they'll say that churches aren't mentioned after chapter 5. So they say that's because the rapture occurred. Well, that's not necessarily logical, and it's not necessarily true. But nevertheless, they'll say that, and then they go through and they assume that Revelation is just written chronologically. And it may be, or it may not be, because there are other theories about that. And so after Revelation 5, then it goes into 6, 7, 8, it goes into some bad stuff about what's going to be happening when God's judgment upon the earth is there. And you can read that there. Those are some good places to go to. So I'd start at Revelation chapter 5 and just kind of keep reading for a while. And then you can get some stuff about some of the end times stuff. All right? Now, I hold to amillennialism. Right. I think I don't believe in a future literal 1,000-year reign. And then I have a friend who's post-millennial. He says things are just going to get better and better and better, and then Christ will return. So they're different views.
So okay. What do you believe?
Well, I believe
what
that
What do you believe?
I believe that the millennial reign of Christ is not a literal 1,000 years. I believe that it's occurring now, and that Christ is reigning, and that Satan has already been bound, maybe even been loosed. And the term 1,000 is in a figurative context. So I have I've got some good arguments for it. It doesn't convince everybody, but that's okay. All right.
All right. Well, thank you, Matt.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
Sheila.
It.
Okay. Well, God bless.
Bye-bye.
God bless. Okay. All right. Hey, 4 open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Let's get on the air with Tyler from New York. Tyler, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, brother. How are you?
Oh, doing all right. Hanging in there.
Same here.
Okay. So what do you got?
Sure. A question regarding spiritual gifts. I remember I had called a couple of years ago, and you had told me to look at a book called The Scots Worthies, and because in the script in that book, I vaguely remember you telling me possibly, correct me if I'm wrong, but that Banner of Truth had done an updated edition that where they took out like supernatural accounts of things that had happened.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Yep. And I found a secondhand copy from, like, England, and I got it, and it's, like, a facsimile of the original, and it's really good. And I was wondering if you remember specifically which story it was about, where the guy was walking in a garden with somebody in robes or something you might have talked about.
That one, I don't remember where I heard that or read it, because I've read so much stuff over the years, I just can't place it. So I apologize for that. I wish I did know. But I've read stories like that, and maybe someone who's listening on the radio show can, if they know where that is, they can email me, and then I can announce it over the radio. But John Knox is one of the guys in the Scots Worthies on page 57. Now, I use the 1870 edition, printed 1870, and it was from Westminster Theological Seminary in Escondido, California. And so there, John Knox is one of the main guys that is mentioned. Also, Robert Fleming is, he has, like, for example, Robert Fleming, this is page 578 to 560, and he says, the strange and extraordinary impression I had of an audible voice in the church at night when, being a child, I had got up to the pulpit calling me to make haste. The extraordinary dream and marvelous vision I had twice repeated with the inexpressible joy after the same. The dream at Bussay, where I got such express warning as to my wife's removal. Those great and signal confirmations give me at my wife's death. It's things that they talk about like this. And George Wishart also, and where he has I guess you'd call it a word of knowledge. And I can read it to you, but it's in there. So, you know, what date is yours, the one that you have?
I can't remember. I don't have this physical copy on hand, but it's like the original one from the 1600s. Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, good, good, good. I'd like to, let's see, I'm going to look. Do I have all of, I don't even have the book, Scott's Worthies, on Kindle. I do everything on Kindle. I have almost 600 books on Kindle now. So there are some places you can find books like that are PDF and they're searchable. But as far as that other thing goes, I don't remember where I read it, but I remember reading it. Well, you know what? There's another book that might have it in there. Surprised by the Spirit. Surprised, let me see the book. Surprised, let me see if I can remember the name. Surprised by the Spirit. I read that. I don't know if it's in there. But it was written by Jack Deere. That's right. Surprised by the Spirit. Mm-hmm. He's reformed and affirms the charismatic gifts. And then someone has told me that there are instances recorded in the Church Fathers of the charismatic movement, too. But I haven't heard of it. People told me that it exists. I just don't know where it is yet. I guess someone's researching, you know. So anyway, don't know if that helps.
Oh, hey, thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah, check out John Knox. And if you are interested in those particular quotes, you can go to my website, CalvinistCorner.com. Just CalvinistCorner.com. And you can look in there, and you'll see at the towards the bottom, it says Other, in that category. Experiential Calvinism, the Charismatic Gifts, John Knox. Robert Fleming, George Wishart. Okay? There you go, buddy.
Thank you very much, brother.
All right, man. God bless. Hey, we have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Hope you're having a good time listening. Excuse me there, I got a little hiccup. And if you want to give me a call, you can. 877-207-2276. Let's get on the air with Travis from North Carolina. Travis, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, man. How's it going?
It's going, man. Hey, Travis, welcome back, buddy. Hey, got a question for you. My wife asked, or somebody else asked, are you married by any chance? Was your wife calling earlier about you being in and stuff like that?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not married. I came close and I lost it, and I messed up about relationships forever because of that one, I think.
Well, there's always the future. But no, because a woman was calling for her husband who was incarcerated, and anyway, so I just wondered if it was the same. But anyway, buddy, okay, what do you got, man? What's up?
Well, if he's listening, my prayers go out to him, man. Keep your head up in there.
That's right. Good for you.
Yes, I've been working, man. I tried to call yesterday, I think, and my phone wouldn't dial out for some reason. But I just lost my train of thought. Update though, the preacher at the church I've been going to, he's got me here in a couple weeks giving a sermon, man. He wants to give my testimony and a little message.
Really? You're gonna preach? Really?
Just a little testimony about my life and where God brought me from.
Oh, you do a testimony. Brother, praise God. Praise God, man.
Yep.
Good for you.
I'm going to do it on, I think, 2 Corinthians 12, Paul's thorn in the flesh.
But, okay.
So I have a question about eternal salvation. All right, my grandfather was a deacon of a church. He worked every day of his life until he retired. Just an upstanding kind of guy. I know there's nothing good in any of us except God, but if there was something good, he would be the epitome of it. And he suffered, after my grandma died, he kind of lost it a little bit. Now he's suffering with Alzheimer's and dementia.
Oh.
He hasn't spoke to any of us in years. He's, the last we did see of him, he's told me he hasn't been in church in years. He cusses everybody out, hateful. Mm-hmm. And I know that we can't lose our salvation, but how would God deal with something like that? Is it just lose possibly some of the rewards that we might have stored up in heaven, or
what you're reminding me of is the thing of revenge. And I've been thinking about the idea of revenge and why God says revenge is mine, let me be the judge. And I was thinking, why is that? It's because only God knows all the circumstances and all the conditions of the heart. He is the one who will judge rightly. And that's a principle that makes sense. The same applies here. God knows all the conditions. If this man's brain is just frying, and he's saying things and doing stuff that he normally would not, certainly God knows. And this is the effect of sin. You can have the effect of sin be in glaucoma and people go blind. Or you can have it in Alzheimer's and other things. And God is the one who just works it. And he's the righteous judge. He will work all of it together, and it'll be the best, whatever outcome it is, that God decides on that day of judgment. So, both my parents are gone, but if one of them was in that condition and was just foul, I would say to myself, that's not him or her. That's the decay of sin, an effect on the body doing this. And that person will be freed from it soon. That's how I would look at it. Okay.
That helps a lot, man.
Yeah.
I sent in an email about the schools and stuff, and I haven't got anything.
You haven't got anything back yet? Thanks for reminding me.
No.
And I did send it ahead, because you did send it, and I will, I'll make sure that it's taken care of, okay? And thanks for reminding me. I'm sorry you had to. But you sent it. I remember forwarding it. And my wife is the one who takes care of them. And so she'll, I'll just remind her. Take a look, okay?
All right, well, I appreciate it. And I'm praying for you and your wife both. I hope everything is going good with y'all. And keep me in your prayers for the sermon in a couple weeks, because he does his stuff. He broadcasts on Facebook Live, too, while the message is going on, and I'm not sure how great I'm going to do with that. But
oh, you don't worry about it. Look, if you listen to me on the radio very much, you know I mess up, and I'll say things that don't come out right, and I'll sometimes just say, let me try to get in English. You know what? People don't care. When you're at a church and a pastor's preaching and he messes up, he misspeaks, he says something wrong, people don't care. They just kind of chuckle. They go on with it. That's just because it's people. And that's how it is. When you realize that, it's not going to be an issue. You're not going to worry about it, okay? Don't mess up. I mean, don't worry about mess up. Just talk, okay? All right? Just
yes,
you'll
sir.
Be fine. All right? All right, buddy?
Will you be hearing from me again, man? Take care.
Sounds good. All right.
All right, God bless.
God bless, brother. All right, God bless. Well, that was Travis. He recently got out of prison. Praise God. The Lord saved him and working in his heart and his mind. And I just think that is awesome. We have several open lines. If you want to call me, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Rick from Utah. Rick, you're on the air.
Hey, Matt, how are you?
Oh, tired, but good, and a little melancholy with a little bit of apprehension mixed in. There you go. How's that?
Yeah, I hear you. I have a question on Bible, different versions of Bibles. I'll ask you the first, the one I just come across now, and then I'll ask you about the other ones, too. One is from Ligonier Ministries. It's called the Reformation Study Bible. What kind of a Bible is that? Do you have any idea? I guess that's R.C. Sproul. Right. Ministry, I don't know.
Yeah, I would recommend it. I would. You can't go wrong that way.
Okay.
Okay? Yeah, can't go wrong there.
What? Right. How's the version going to be? Is it going to be like a KJV or an NIV or an NASB? What is it
I don't know.
Modeling after? Do you have any? You don't know?
No, I don't know. Let's see. I could probably find out if I were to go to, what I like to do really fast here, is go to Amazon and type in, what was it, Reformation Bible, right? Reformation Bible.
Reformation Study Bible, yeah.
Reformation Study Bible. Okay. And let's see if it says what it is. And I'm looking. I don't know if it's going to tell me what version it is. I'm clicking on stuff. But I'm sure it'll be good. Reformation Study Bible. And I would say it. Maybe someone knows. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Okay.
I just get worried when I hear the Reformation, you know, like the Apostolic Reformation type things, and I'm like, wow, those guys are kind of different.
No. It is not that. It deals with the Reformed perspective of Calvinism, the sovereignty of God, the majesty of God, the depravity of man, the work of Christ, the Trinity, the deity of Christ. R.C. Sproul was a good man, and he knew his stuff.
Okay.
All right, so you can't go wrong with that one, all right? Okay.
Accuracy-wise, of the, you know, the Bibles that are out there, what do you think of the NASB versus the NKJV or the ESV? How do you rate those?
Incidentally, I just found out that the Reformation Study Bible is the ESV. I just looked and saw, at least the one I clicked on. All right.
Okay.
So I prefer the NASB over all of them, and that's my opinion.
Okay.
And I'm not knocking the other ones, but I have a habit of going to Romans 5:18. And because we've got a break coming up, when we get back from the break, I'll explain why. And you can take a look if you want to look at that verse, but I'll go to it after the break and talk about how good the Bibles are and why I prefer the NASB. All right? All right, so hold on.
Romans 5:18?
Yeah, that's right. I'll talk about it when we get back from the break. Hey, folks, if you want to call me, we have four open lines, 877-207-2276.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Great. Don't feel sorry for me. Anybody, please, shut my mouth.
It's all right. Go ahead. Analogies are fine, and they all fail at some point, but, you know, we've got them, and
yeah,
a way to kind of illustrating it, but yeah, there you go. Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, because there's a part of Christianity that believes that God the man, you know, I'm not going to go into it, but we know what they believe.
Right. That's true. All right, buddy. Well, thanks, man.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
You take care. God bless you.
All right. All right. Let's get to Janet from Raleigh, North Carolina. Janet, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you very much, Matt. I have two quick questions to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one is, what does it mean to be made in the image of God?
Sure. Let me write this out, because I keep notes on what we do, what we talk about in all the shows. To be made in the image of God deals with what's called the communicable attributes of God. So God, for example, has incommunicable and communicable attributes. So God, incommunicable attributes. That means they cannot be communicated to us. We cannot experience them. We can't know them. For example, God is omniscient. We can't know that. God is omnipotent. We cannot experience that. God is all places all the time. This is beyond our comprehension, and we certainly are not that. So the incommunicable attributes mean those attributes that belong to God alone and cannot be communicated to us. We cannot participate in them. However, there are communicable attributes. So God can think. We can think. God can love. We can love. God can hate. We can hate. God can reason. We can reason. God can show mercy.
There we go. Test 1-2.
God's self-aware. We're self-aware. And so
you hear me?
The image of God deals with what's called the communicable attributes.
Type in go in the comm racks and I'm ready.
So it doesn't include anything physical.
All right. Wow. Okay, there we go, folks. Sorry about that. My internet just tanked. It went just down, and I have two internet services, and I switched to the other one just to be able to get back on the air. We have two. That's right. One for ministry, one for home, and switched to the home one. So I don't know why. What happened? That's what happened. All right, let's see if we can get back on the air with, let's hope this is working. Rick from Utah, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I wonder what happened there.
I was talking, and all of a sudden, there it goes.
It's called the Prince of the Power of the Air.
Yes, that is true. That is true. I don't even know why or what happened or why it did, but that's what happened. So normally, it's pretty good internet. I have one for ministry and one for home. But they're both right next to each other, and I'm a computer tech, so bang, I fixed it. Hey, by the way, just to let you know that we have a Sola Gratia number 7, we had a $5 donation on the Rumble. I just got to say that before we get back into stuff, because I don't want to forget. All right, man. You ready?
Yep.
You ready? All right. So,
yep. Let's do it.
I was going to say, the reason I like the NASB over the ESV, the King James, the NIV, is this is a personal preference, is I want something as literal to the Greek as possible because of what I do for a living. I want to be able to find out exactly what's happening. I want to know what the truth is. I want to know exactly, as much as I can, the original. Because I believe the original is written in such a way that we have to be careful even in how we translate it, lest we miss something. And that's what happened in Romans 5:18 in, for example, the ESV. And when I had the NASB years ago, and I was reading through that verse, and it puzzled me. Let's see. Hold on. We're not having any. I could do audio. Oh, that's weird. It had to reset. Okay, good. Okay, we got it done. Okay, should be good now. All right. Okay. So I was reading this, and it says in Romans 5:18, so then as through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men, even so through one act of righteousness there resulted justification of life to all men. And I read that, and I was puzzled, because it says resulted justification of life to all men. All men means everybody, so therefore everybody's saved. That's universalism, but I knew universalism's false. So it puzzled me, so I went and studied. And I'm going to skip all this stuff, but I learned a great deal because of this. I learned that what Paul is doing in Romans 5, starting Romans 5:15 to the end of the chapter, you'll see that he uses phrases differently than we do. He talks about the all, and he talks about the many. And so, for example, I'll do this quickly. Romans 5:19 says, for as through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. And notice how Paul uses the same phrase, the many, in two different senses. And you go to verse 15, it says, but the free gift is not like the transgression, for if by the transgression of the one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. Well, so far, it's not that big a deal. But when you get to Romans 5:18, it says, as what it literally says in the Greek is, so then, as through one transgression, condemnation to all men. There's no verb in this sentence. It goes on, even so, through one act of righteousness, justification of life to all men. So here's the principle. There's sentence A and sentence B, and they both talk about one man and then the effect of what the one man's action was. So sentence A of Romans 5:18 so as through one transgression, that's Adam's sin, condemnation to all men. So we know, because of the next verse, Romans 5:19, we know that when Adam sinned, everybody became sinners. That's what it says. I can go into Romans 5:19 in depth, but I won't. And so, you take the right verb there is there resulted, because it's a resultant action of what Adam did. That's the correct translation. But the problem is that sentence B says, even so, or in like manner, or like what that said, through an act of righteousness, justification of life to all men. So the NASB writers put the verb resulted back down in the second sentence in B. Okay, the reason is because it is interpreted by A. Am I making sense so far?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, so this is the key. And I'll explain what's going on in the text, but what the ESV does and the NIV and some other ones do is, the King James, is they interpret A in light of B, not B in light of A. And they make a mistake. They understand that salvation is not for everybody. They realize that sentence B is implying that it is. So what they do is they go to sentence A and they soften it. So the ESV says, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation to all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification of life for all men. Well, that makes sense now. You don't have to worry about anything because now this translation is softened. But if you went with the ESV, you would never have seen what's going on in the text. And the NASB shows us something. And what it shows us is very simple. God uses words differently than we do. So when I teach this, I ask a test question. I say, look, can I test you and try and trick you at the same time? And people usually say, well, yeah, of course. You know, give it a shot. You know, they know I'm not trying to hurt them or anything. And I'll say, would you agree with me that whenever it talks about anybody dying with Christ, dying to sin, dying to the world, dying to self, it's only the believer, right? Yeah, of course. But look at this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ controls us, having included this, that one died for all, therefore all died. Who's the all who died? It can't be everybody. It can only be the believers. It can't be everybody. And yet he says he died for all, therefore all died. Paul, he does this again. In 2 Corinthians 5:14, he also does it in 1 Corinthians 5:15-22. In Adam, all die. In Christ, all should be made alive. So, because I don't have much time here, the break coming up, what I learned from this is that there are two groups of people, the elect and the non-elect. That Adam represented his people, Jesus represented his people. And so inside of both federal heads is the reference to all as it relates to the federal head. And when you understand that, the theology becomes apparent. You see what Paul's doing, but if you go with the ESV, you won't see it. Well, we got another break, so hold on, okay? Be right back, folks. After these messages, please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. All right, we got an internet fixed thing. And Rogers 1APZ, thanks for the $5 rant on Rumble. We do appreciate it, folks. If you want to follow me on Rumble, you can do that. Just go to rumble.com. It's a replacement for YouTube. A lot of people are moving over to it. And if you are interested in supporting us there, you can just look for up CARMORG, C-A-R-M-O-R-G on there, and you can find the show. And that's where we're going. That's where most of it is, right there. All right, let's get back to Rick. Rick, are you there?
One more quick question.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew.
Yes.
And the Greek is in, I mean, the New Testament is Aramaic and Greek. Is that correct?
No. Aramaic is a dialect of Hebrew, similar. And the Old Testament was written in small portions of Aramaic, but in Hebrew. The Greek New Testament, it's all in Greek. Okay? New Testament.
It's all Greek. Okay. Yep. Well, the reason I ask that is because some people refer to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost, and I can read some Greek and whatever, and it doesn't say to aio phantasma, which would be a ghost. It says to aio pneumatos, which is a pneuma, which is spirit. So I never understood why they can call him the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit. That's the correct translation.
Because it's a an anachronism out of the King James. That's all. It's the King James is called okay. Holy Ghost. Called him Holy Ghost, and we call him Holy Spirit because Hagias Pneuma. So that's it, Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. That's all. Okay?
All right.
Now, hey, one more thing, though.
Sure.
About the translations. See, I gave you the reason why I prefer that NASB, because I need that literalness, because I'm more a theologian than most. But the ESV is a very good translation. And it's a great translation. So if people want, they don't need that level of intimacy to the Greek that I do, then get the ESV, you know. So it's a good translation. Okay?
Sure. Thank you.
All right. All right, buddy. God bless, Rick. Okay. All right. Now let's get to Alberto from Georgia. Alberto, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening, Master. My question is, you know when Jesus said that the world loves its own?
Mm-hmm.
Saying, how come now a lot of the unbelievers are upset about the LGBT guy has this face on the can, the Bud Light? A lot of the unbelievers now don't want to buy the Bud Light cans. So, in other words, they should love the LGBT movement because Jesus said the world loves its own.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that every detail is going to be loved by every unbeliever. A lot of unbelievers have good common sense about a lot of stuff, and they just reject this idiocy that Bud is going to Anheuser-Busch and also Nike, that are both going trans. And so people are saying, we don't want to support them. And a lot of people don't, believers and unbelievers. And I hope they go out of business. That's my wish. I hope they suffer financially. I hope their stock plummets. And I hope that they get the message that don't push this stuff on us. Leave us alone. But no, they got to push it. Push. These stupid trans people. It just makes me mad. They want it all over the place. It makes me mad. Yeah.
Could I ask one more question?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible said that God hates divorce, but that's not true, because God wants us to divorce Satan and marry Jesus.
No, we're not married to Satan. Divorce occurs when someone's married, but you're not married to Satan. So there is no divorce there. God does hate divorce, but mm-hmm. the divorce he hates is the kind that is ungodly. And basically, all divorce is because of ungodliness. And so even God in... Jeremiah 3:8, I believe it was, let me check, issued a writ of, let's see if I got this right. Yeah, a writ of divorce. And I saw, God speaking, I saw that for all the adulteries of faithless Israel, I had sent her away and given her a writ of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but she went and was a harlot also. The harlotry of idolatry. So God issued a writ of divorce against Israel. So, because of their sin, and there you go. All right. So, all divorce is ultimately sinful, in the sense. But you can have an innocent party in it. So you have a man and a woman. So if one of the parties, is committing adultery, and the other one, and what person won't repent, won't stop, the offended party is free to be able to divorce, and not. And that person's innocent of that because the other one has broken the covenant and continues to break that covenant, so the person, other one's free to divorce. Not obligated to, but free to. Okay?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. All right?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you.
All right, God bless. Hey, folks, we have five open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. I just hit the wrong button. I got to open that back up. And there we go. So if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. And also you can send me an email. And we have nobody waiting right now. So I think what I'll do is go to some of those emails. And let's see what we've got. Let's see, radio questions and issues. Let's see, how about this one? Okay. I was reading through them and checking them out. Let me just find one. Anyway, sorry. I'm just trying. I thought I had them sorted, but I guess I didn't. My apologies for that. So, here we go. Let's see. There's a premise that someone gave me trying to refute God's existence. I was going to write an article on it. Boy, I got so much on my plate. Hello, this is Diana, and listen, good. So, is Jesus God in human form? Yes, Jesus is God in human form right now. He is a man in a resurrected, glorified body. Jesus is a man right now. 1 Timothy 2:5 says there's one mediator between man and God, the man, Christ Jesus. Also, Colossians 2:9 says, for in him dwells all the fullness of deity in bodily form. And both of these were written well after the ascension of heaven, of Christ into heaven, excuse me. And so, he's a man, okay? And let's see, I believe, I was trying to understand that he was a human, was human, and God had godly powers, which was given to him by the Father. No, the godly powers were not given to him by the Father. Now, the reason is because he already had them. Well, what does that mean? If you understand that Jesus has two distinct natures, a divine nature and a human nature, and we call this the hypostatic union, that in the one person are two natures, the divine and the human, God and man, and that the attributes of both natures are ascribed to the single person. That's called the communication of the properties. That's what the doctrine is. And so, Jesus, by being the person with those two natures, and the attributes of both natures were his, therefore he had godly powers. By is the nature of the divine attributes that were ascribed to that single person of Christ. Okay, so that's what that is. So nothing was given to him as far as godly powers because they were his to begin with. It does not look as though he was accessing them very much, that we see recorded in the Gospels until John 2 when he did his first miracle after his baptism. That's important. But he did his first miracle by of changing water into wine. Okay. So Diane and it goes on, if Jesus is God in human form, then what's the meaning of the cross when we ask, Father, why have you forsaken me? This has to do with the doctrine of the Trinity. Jesus is second person of the Trinity. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the Trinity is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And we would say that there's one God in three distinct simultaneous persons. So Jesus, who has two natures, yet is one person, was on the cross. And he was quoting Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22, verse 1 says that. And it's a psalm that details the crucifixion. And it was written 1000 B.C., hundreds of years before crucifixion was invented. So that's what Jesus was doing there, and that's why that is that. Okay, which brings me to the Trinity. She says, I think I'm getting that there are three separate entities. Nope, that is not true. There's only one entity. When you define entity as a being, there's only one being who is God. One entity who is God, there's only one God. God is an entity. God is a being. So not three entities, that would be three gods, and we don't affirm that in Christianity. But you can't have them without the Father God. So that's not true, okay. I admit that I do not understand the depths of the Bible has, and I'm trying to learn and understand. Well, there you go. I've explained those, and you could, if you are interested, if you're listening, you can go to CARM, and you can look up the Christian Theology section, and you can go through and read a bunch of articles that deal with this kind of stuff. And there it is. All right. All right. All right. All right. So let's go on to this. Let's see. I was curious if Mr. Slick would be willing to have an... I think I read this before. I like this one. Would be willing to have an adult, respectful conversation about science. I was just thinking, maybe he might not want an adult, respectful conversation, but an immature, disrespectful one. That would be interesting. I wonder what that would be. The theory of evolution or the Big Bang theory, because it requires less knowledge of mathematics. Well, you know, I think mathematics is an integral part of the evolutionary theory. And there are articles written on the mathematical challenges to the Darwinian theory of evolution out there. Mathematics is a challenge to it, believe it or not. Anyway, I'm well aware of Mr. Slick's position on these subjects, so we wouldn't be starting from scratch. Yeah, if you want to talk, you can find me on the web someplace, you know. In fact, more people now are starting to want to have discussions and debate me on different topics. So we'll probably... I don't want to do debates anymore. Well, for a while, depending on the circumstance. I want to just have a discussion. Let's just meet. We'll just talk. Have a moderated discussion. That kind of a thing. Because it takes less prep time and less stuff. Because I don't want to do all this prep time anymore. I got way too much on my plate. Here's another email. People... People have been asking quite a lot about the assurance of salvation. If you get some time, how could you know yourself if you're saved? We've already gone over that before, and it's a perpetual question. You know you're saved if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know and believe that He's God in flesh, who died on the cross and rose from the dead in the same body He died in. That's it. There's only one God, and not like Mormonism with millions of gods, and you only serve and worship one of many. And not like Jehovah's Witness, Roman Catholicism, which denies a true gospel and says works are necessary for salvation. You got to believe the essentials of the Christian faith, which I've taught on many times, and I need to do again. All right, so there's that, and we have about less than a minute left. Where did you say that Karm T-shirts can be found? What's that? Type that in, Charlie. What's the URL for the Karm T-shirts? We gotta work up a deal on that. That's true. Karm Christian T-shirts or something like that. I forgot the name. It's KarmChristianWitness.com. Perfect timing. KarmChristianWitness.com, and you get some Karm-related T-shirts. How about that? All right, there you go. There's the music. I am out of here. May the Lord bless you, and by His grace, we'll be back on the air tomorrow, and hopefully, I'm reading something. Hopefully, it'll work out fine. God bless everybody. We'll see you. Have a good one.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.